God is good all the time. This week, I almost did a dance when I got a prayer chain message. And you say, well, that's not normally what you do when you get a prayer chain message, right? You don't want to dance, do you? But that's exactly what I wanted to do, because in the prayer chain message, first there was a prayer request. And then there was an anonymous praise. And what happened last Sunday, well, we did the same thing here, right? About praying for healing. And somebody stood up and God healed them at church. And I'm here like, you know what? People come to church to be with God. And so if you have something that you need God to heal, back, motions, whatever the case may be, I'm going to ask you to stand out of faith, out of hope, out of... I know it's really tough when you're in that situation and you're here like, man, it's such a little thing. I don't think God really cares about, you know, this little thing. Oh my goodness, everybody in the church knows what's happening and I just don't want to be embarrassed. Lord, I know you can do it, but you can do it for other people, but you know, you just can't do it for me. I just... Man, if I stand up, everybody will see me. I know, I've been there. But you know what? All I'm going to do is ask for the Spirit of God, Jesus, to walk beside you. I'm going to ask Jesus to touch you. And you know what? Sometimes he touches you. Sometimes he doesn't. And you know what? You leave here saying, why didn't he touch me? And it does make us feel bad. It makes me feel bad. But you know what? God promised us that by his stripes we are healed. And that his timing is so different. And we're going to learn a little bit about faith again. But sometimes that pain, that struggle, it may that God wants you in that hospital to share to that nurse so that that nurse will come to know Christ. And you would never talk to her anyways. But because he needs to put you there so that you can witness... It's all in his plan. But today I'm going to ask you if you want God to touch you emotionally, financially, whatever you need, if you would stand and I'll ask Jesus just to walk beside you. So, Heavenly Father, I just love these people. And I realize I just barely know them. But you know them, Father. You walked beside them all their lives. You saw them when they were babies. And that was a long time ago for some of us. And you have such an incredible love for us. Lord Jesus, I just ask that your healing presence would be here. Would you heal us from wounded hearts? Would you heal bodies that are hurting? Would you heal us from ourselves? Lord Jesus, today, would you erase some tapes that we keep playing in our heads that tells us that you don't love us? There's somebody here today. Lord, erase that tape in the name of Jesus. We love you, Father. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, we talked about faith, right? God says, leave your country, leave your people, and leave your father's house. And we talked about leaving the place that is comfortable. Leaving the place that is familiar. Leaving the place of provision that we're used to for God's new provision. And I want to say that Michael Todd is the one that kind of gave me that idea of familiar and those types of things. I didn't say that last week, and I probably should, even though it's a very small amount. But I want to give credit to a pastor that is an excellent pastor. But everything but that little section was what the Lord gave me. But I thought it was really good, uncomfortable, unfamiliar, and leaving the provisions. Today we're going to talk about faith again. Because oftentimes we do not think that we need faith for the everyday, ordinary piece of life. We don't. We get up. There's food in our cupboards. We open the refrigerator. We get out our breakfast. And we thank the Lord for our breakfast, but we didn't really. The provisions was long provided for. We just know that God's going to provide. And we just, hey, thank you, Lord, and move on. But we really don't know what it. Maybe some of you remember way back when you were younger and you prayed in your daily bread. Today, we're going to be talking about going to the other side. It's an ordinary day. Jesus and his disciples were with the crowds all day. And Jesus was, talking about, we all been to Sunday school, about sowing seeds. Jesus was talking about sowing seeds, and some seeds fell by the wayside and the birds came up and ate it up. Some seeds fell upon the rocks and grew up really fast and then died because it has no roots. And Jesus was teaching all day long about seeds. And then he talked about the farmers and about, hey, first comes the head and then comes the roots and then comes the fruit and then you harvest it. Jesus was explaining to the crowds all day long about this. And then he ends the whole day with, if you had a faith as the size of a little mustard seed, then you can say to this mountain, go jump in the sea. Jesus was hanging out with the crowds all day. Let me tell you about the crowd. The crowd is probably just like this crowd in some ways. There are some that are like, yes, I get to hear Jesus and they're excited to be there. Then there's some saying, oh man, let's cross that thoughts. And oh, I want to brag on you guys. Can I do that? Is that legal? I preached last Sunday and I talked about, hey, it's around in Luke 7 about the women. Two people after church came up and said, yeah, it's Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. And I'm here like, woo! That makes me excited. I was one chapter away. You know, when you're looking at your Bible, sometimes you have chapter 7 and 8. I don't care, but I thought that was wonderful. Now I've lost myself. That's okay. Oh, yeah, there's different people in the crowd, right? There's some really excited about coming to church. There's some that's, man, do I have to go? This is my 97th time. And you know what? Even if it's your 97th time, if you got healed today, woohoo! Think about the doctor bills you just saved because Jesus walked by you. Some being pastors' kids, you're made to go to church. You have to be there because you're dragged. And then there are some there that was just, hey, I hope he make a mistake. I hope he makes a mistake. That's my kids, really. because every Sunday after church, we have we eat together. And as we're eat together, we ask what something from service or from Sunday school, and our kids share. And if I'm preaching, they're just hoping that I mess up someplace or another because they'll share that. But if I don't mess up, they'll share something about a song that touched them and this or that. You know, they'll share anything but what was preached. But if I make a mistake, you know what? I should make more mistakes more often. But they're there looking. And Jesus had spent all day teaching. He's been with the crowd. He's been with those who are trying to criticize him, those who are pumping him up. He's been there, and this is where we come. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. We'll start at verse 35. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 4. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious squall came up and waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Jesus said to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Heavenly Father, send your spirit to teach us, to motivate us, to draw us closer to yourself. Lord, we don't need to hear what I have prepared at all. What we need to hear is from you. Lord, each one here, you want to speak to today concerning faith. Lord, may we have ears to hear, eyes that see, and a heart willing to say, "Yes, Lord, I hear." In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. How many have worked hard in your life? You've worked hard all day, and you come home, and you're like, "I just need a break today," right? Yeah, I'm speaking to the right crowd. You know what it is to work all day, and you come home, and you're just like, "I'm tired, I'm pooped, I just want to relax." That's where Jesus is at. He's at that spot. He's coming, and he goes, "You know what? The crowd's here. It's time to go. And did you see what Jesus did? He got in the boat and went to sleep. But notice what Jesus said. I want you to pay attention. Look at that very first verse in 35. It says, "Let us go over to the other side." You see, we kind of miss that in our lives, don't we? We're too busy. You know, at the end of the day, we come home and we're saying, it's not "let us go watch television. Let us go catch up on Facebook. Let us go watch the news. Let us." No, it's really about us checking out. And if we're honest, we're checking out from God too. Because we feel like if God's with us, he might put us to work, right? Am I talking real? Yeah. Well, you see, Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." He wants to be with you, and he wants to go to the other side. And guess what? I think he wants the disciples to go rest too. They've had a busy day too. And Jesus gets in a cushion and he goes to sleep. Let us go to the other side. Now we're going to get to meddling. Let me go to the other side. Leave Jesus there and let me go where I think we need to go. Jesus, I want you to bless what I'm doing. Jesus is here, but we go over here and we leave Jesus on the beach talking. And Jesus is saying his last minute instructions over here and this or that. And guess what? We take off because we're busy. We're ready to go. I heard Jesus say, let's go to the other side. So we take off, and we take off in our boat, and Jesus is still on the beach. Some of us are go-getters. I'm obeying God, Lord. I'm doing what you say. And the Lord says, yes, but you're doing it without me. Sometimes we're so busy doing what God wants us to do that we totally forgot that Jesus is not in our boat with us. We get moving so fast. Now, some of us are workaholics. Some of us, as Jesus says, let us, what? Go to the other side, right? And we say, Jesus, you go get in the boat. You go to the other side. The people are here. We have more people to teach about who you are, how great you are. Things are just great here. You've been doing awesome. And let me just finish up for you, Jesus. You get on the boat. You can go, and I'll finish for you. What arrogance. You say, that's not me. Yeah, let me put one more load of laundry in the wash machine. Let me do one more thing. Let me vacuum the thing. And Jesus is saying, I just want to hang out with you on your lazy boy at your place. And I want to spend some time with you. And you're like, let me finish one more bill. Let me go do this one more thing. Let me go. And Jesus is saying, let what? Us go to the other side. That's what my Bible says, right? Let us go to the other side. Friends, at the end of a busy, hectic day, I want you to hear the Spirit talking to you. And some of us, we've been spending time all day with Jesus. Jesus helped us at work. Jesus helped us, you know, when things were going crazy, and he steadied us. And Jesus has been with us all day. But when we get home at the end of the day, we're kind of frazzled. But it's been a good day. Jesus has been with us, right? And Jesus is saying, I want to spend some time with you. He said, but I already spent time with you this morning. We had devotions. We hung out this morning. And Jesus is saying, I know we hung out this morning. Oh, it's so funny. What was the devotions on the other day? My kids called me out. It was so great. I forget. But I messed up. The, you know, devotions was about, my mind's going blank right in front of everybody. But my kid says, I made fun of somebody. And some, you know, just teasing Justin and them. And they said, Dad, you know that you know, the devotion. And I'm here like, you're right. This morning, watch our words, pay attention to what we're supposed to be saying. God at the end of the day wants to hang out with you. And he says, let us go to the other side. Now, we all read all five verses, didn't we? Because you're saying, this is an ordinary day. I want you to know that crises that come in our lives are not like Hurricane Dorian, where you see a hurricane 3, that growing to 4, growing to 5, coming at us, and we have time to, you know, latch up the house and batten down. I want you to know, most crises in our lives don't happen that way. It's driving down the road and a car hits you and you're in the hospital. It's going down and getting a call and saying, hey, so-and-so try to commit suicide. It's something that's hard. And it never gives us a heads up that it's coming. That's unfortunately how life is. All the crises in my life, you know, some of them, you know, we kind of know the crisis is that we create ourselves, where we make one poor decision and make another poor decision and make another poor decision. We kind of know that storm's coming because we're making bad decisions. We're procrastinating. We're doing whatever. But most of the crises in our lives don't come like that. There is no radar out there coming in and showing us that. So, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. And here's the important part, is that when Jesus in the boat, we all know the song, you can smile in the storm with Jesus in the boat. I'll tell you, it's hard to smile in the storm because the storm is real. And it comes without warning. And you know what also makes us frustrated? Is that Jesus is the one that told us to get in the boat, and we feel like we're all in danger and life is crashing in on us. The disciples don't respond very well in this section. But I want to give you an example of somebody who does respond extremely well. And it's in the Old Testament. Can you believe it? Yeah, when you read the Old Testament, there's a storm that came. Let me tell you about this storm. It's a storm about a man that had 7 sons and 7 daughters. Who had a big business, had lots of money. And in a couple of days, everything is destroyed. 7 sons, 7 daughters killed. He lost his cattle, his camels, his sheep, his everything. Everything's wiped out. In fact, his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? And you know what my Bible says this guy did? It blows my mind. Let me see. Job chapter 1, verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground in worship. Blows my mind. I'm not there yet. I'm not even close there yet. Because I'm too busy saying, God, why is this storm coming this way? Poor me. If I lost all 6 of my kids in one day. Lord, I hope that when that day comes, if it ever comes, then I'm ready to fall down and worship. But that's not the story we have here. The story we have here is really my kind of faith. You know, when crises come, Jesus has been with them all day, right? Jesus healed people that day. Jesus did a lot of things that day, incredible things that day. And when the storm came to the disciples, what did they do? Well, the first thing they did is they did everything in their power to stay afloat. Isn't that what it says? Next slide. A furious swell came up and waves broke over the boat and the boat was nearly swamped. And guess what? They're bailing. They're throwing water out. Everybody's, all 12 disciples are throwing water out. They're going to die and everything's going to, is horrible. And then they realize, oh, Jesus is in the boat. Hey, Jesus, what do they accuse him of? Do you not care that we're going to drown? I don't know how ironic that is. Do you not care? It's not, hey, Jesus, there's a storm. And you know what happens with most of us? We could have asked Jesus at the first sight of the rain coming down. At the very start of the boat beginning to rock. But you know what? We're too proud. We can do it on ourselves. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. We're pretty good. We're fishermen. We can do this all. And Jesus is saying, Jesus is actually asleep. Jesus is so comfortable in the storm, he's sound asleep. And I hope someday we'll all get there. Because you know what? When we're stressed out, the very first thing that goes in our lives is what? Sleep. You don't sleep. You're staying up awake, stressed all night. Your heart's going like this. And you're here like, and there's sweat, and you can't go to sleep. You get up, and you go walk, and you pray, and you pray, and pray, and then go back to try to sleep, and you're stressed out. When Jesus is in the boat, you can sleep well. Because you know that the love of the Father has you and has the boat. You say, but it's storming outside. Yes, but it's peaceful inside. Jesus gets up and he says, I love the English translations. It says, be quiet. No, he says, shut up! That's what it says in the Greek. I just love translations. And the wind and the storm just... And guess what Jesus... Jesus says, why are you so what? Afraid. And then he says this. Why do you lack what? Faith. I didn't know we were talking about faith. I thought I was talking about survival. Often we think the opposite of faith is what? Doubt. It seems that Jesus is saying the opposite of faith is fear. Why are you lacking faith? You see, let's get back to the first things. First things. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means that if Jesus tells you, let us go to the other side, then you can walk in faith that you're going to get there. But some of you are like me. I'm sorry that we're so much alike. Because when Jesus says, go over there, we look over there and says, man, that looks like it takes some work. That looks like it takes some faith. That looks like I'm going to give up some things. I want to go where I want to go. So God says, I want you to go over there. And we say, I'm going this way. That's called the Jonah boat. There's a Jesus boat. And there's a Jonah boat. If you don't know the story of Jonah, Jonah is a prophet of God who knows that Jesus is merciful, kind, considerate, compassionate, loving, forgiving God. And God tells Jonah, I want you to go tell these people who Jonah doesn't like that there is a God who loves them and cares for them and will forgive them. And Jonah does, those people are jerks. Those people are no good. I don't like those people. I don't want them to hear the gospel because I know they've been such jerks to us, Lord. They should be fried. There's a hell for them, and I'm glad there's a hell for them. They're going to go, and I'm going to be happy about it. And the Lord says, Jonah, I want you to go tell them that there is a hell. There's a real place that they will spend eternity, and I want you to tell them. But if you tell them, you'll forgive them, and blah, 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 blah. I'm not going. I'm going to go this way. You see, God said for Jonah, I want you to go to the other side where those people are, and I want you to share Christ with them. And Jonah says, no, 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 I'm not going to go to the other side. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go to Joppa. They need Jesus. No, they need God. I'm sorry. let me tell you about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are in the Jonah boat and there's a storm that's rocking your boat and you getting messed up in the boat and Jesus is not in the boat, if you will go, Jesus, will you forgive me? Will you forgive me for my sins, for doing what you told me not to do, and I was going to do it anyways, and I'm going to do it my way. And when I do it my way, I find that I'm in a huge storm in my life. A huge storm. Let me tell you, Jesus will come into that boat, will calm the storm, and will set you free from your sins. It's awesome. Because many of us wait until the storm is so huge and so big that we can't find a way out. And guess what? I serve Jesus, who will come into that boat with you, calm the storms, forgive your sins, and says, I want you to know, I want you to come over to the other side for some rest and spend time with me. So I don't care what kind of boat you're in. I know Jesus, who will get in any boat, no matter how bad the storm is, if you will say, Lord, I've messed up. I've really messed up. Will you forgive me? I think that's what the Lord told me to tell you today. So how do we respond? I'll tell you what. If you're in a boat, a Jonah boat, while I'm praying the last prayer, I want you to come forward. Hey, we have chairs up here. Is this what these chairs are for? If you want to sit in a chair or kneel at the altar, we have some people who would love to pray with you. Maybe you're here like, is that why I'm not getting to sleep at night? Jesus wants to spend time with me, and I keep going over and over to someplace else in the phone. I can't get to sleep. Maybe you need to be like Samuel and saying, yes, Lord, I hear your voice. Tonight, when I can't get to sleep, I'm going to put away my phone or open up my Bible app. I don't know. Turn on some worship music and spend some time with you. Let's stand for prayer. The altar is open while I'm praying. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, your love. I thank you for faith. Lord, I thank you that it doesn't have to be that big. It can be really, really small. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for what you are going to do. Lord, there are some boats that be in swamp right now. They've been doing everything in their power, and the water is overflowing, and the boat's about ready to sink. And they don't see a way out. Lord Jesus, would you get in the boat with them? Maybe they left you on the beach. Maybe they left you years ago. But Lord, you want to get in the boat with them because you love them and you care for them. This we ask in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I have one more thought that I want to give you. While I was praying, there's something else the Lord wants you to kind of grasp. The storm that's in your life right now, think about the storm. God is bringing that storm Because your faith of a mustard seed that's really small needs the water from the storm to grow. I think this is important. Because some of you are really ticked off that you're in the storm. But God wants to use that storm to grow your faith to make a difference. Do you hear me? Now I've been obedient. Now let's stand and receive the benediction. Lord, would you go with these people? May their faith increase. May they hear your voice saying, let us go to the other side. And may they say, yes, Lord, I hear your voice. Lord, I pray that you would restore rest to them, that they can trust that the storm is bringing the water to bring their faith, and that you will answer and you'll speak, be quiet, and there'll be calm and peace. Lord, increase our faith, even the faith of a mustard seed. Amen.